Grace, all the pressure. Thank you so much. I always screw up the intro at least once, and then Grace is like, don't fuck it up today.
We are friends from Crisis.
Woo! Ooh, that was fire!
Yeah. What's up, guys? Welcome to another podcast. Thank you so much for continuing to check us out. Please continue to rate and review on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, wherever you listen. And of course, please check out the Instagram, the YouTube, and it cringes me to say, but watch the TikTok. It's all at Friends from Craigslist. And we have a really special, special episode today. I've been waiting for this one. And before I introduce her, let me tell you the one thing that came to mind last night when I was thinking about this was, I feel bad because she can never be president. And I'm here in my head, I'm like, anyone can be president after the last guy, but still she can't because she's not from here. Ladies and gentlemen.
Add that before people think you could fall in or something like that.
Alexia Bone Tempo. What's up?
Hey. Oh, my gosh. What an intro.
Thank you. And listen, we've had to take intros many, many times after I've screwed up or said inappropriate things. So I'm going to say that was a pretty successful one.
Well, almost. Let me just correct you. I wonder if I could be president because I actually am from here. I was born in the States, but I grew up in Brazil. So does that mean that I could be president of America and of Brazil?
I think you can double or nothing now.
You could probably do it at the same time, if anything.
That would be amazing. Can you imagine? Yeah.
I was under the impression, now I'm going to have to retake that whole fucking thing, because I was under the impression that you were actually from Brazil, but you were here and then you went. Because, okay.
No, I was born here. Yeah, I was born here, man. And I moved there when I was 7. My dad is Brazilian, so I do have dual citizenship.
Okay.
So, yeah.
See, you know, I feel like I screwed up, man. I thought we were getting
the
Ferrari.
You're going to have to rewrite a whole one.
Dude, all right. So let me just tell everyone at home, Alexia is a ridiculously, like, makes me feel worthless. Ridiculously good singer, musician, all around, songwriter. She does it all. And
you should probably just stop our podcast right now and go look her up. Because
I'm pretty sure she probably could do a podcast too.
So,
you know?
Yeah.
But she does it all and she's amazing. So I just want to give you an opportunity, because I won't do it justice, to talk about yourself, where you come from, apparently not Brazil, and tell everyone just a little bit about you and how you got here and where you came from.
Sure. So I was actually born here in the States. My mom's American. My dad is Brazilian. So I was born in D.C. out of all places, which is kind of funny because I don't feel like I personally have a connection to my place of birth, you know, even though we lived there for a few years. And I do have some family members that live there, but it's not really, I don't know, it just doesn't feel like home at all. but I moved to Brazil when I was 7, and I grew up in Rio, just outside of Rio in the mountains. And it was a very interesting, exciting childhood. And my adolescent years were really fun too. And I was exposed to so much music and culture and art, and moved back here to the States when I was 17 to finish high school. And I did a lot of like back and forth. I was trying to figure out, you know, where I wanted to be and, you know, how to be a musician, how to be an artist, and trying to figure out where I wanted to do that. So there was a lot of back and forth after school, and I ended up studying in New Hampshire at Plymouth State University. I studied classical voice there for 2 years, and then I ended up quitting and going back to Rio to work on my first album. So I never went back to Plymouth to finish my music degree, but I ended up at a later point in my life. I was already a working musician. I had already released my first album, but I always wanted to complete my degree. So I went back to school in Rio, and I got a degree in Brazilian and Portuguese literature. So finished that. Yeah.
Well, I'll tell you what, don't feel bad about not finishing the music degree, because I have a really expensive piece of paper that says I can play saxophone. And where's that gotten me? Doing a podcast, ladies and gentlemen. That's That's pretty badass. I mean, just being able to be, you know, grow up in all these different places, I think is really cool. Coming from the guy that's like, I'm from Staten Island. I think that's amazing. Do you think that that has influenced your music? And like, obviously you're going to say yes, but like how?
Oh, 1,000%. I think it just completely defined who I am as a human being and the style of music that I sing and like to write. And, you know, it's all a reflection of those both worlds that, you know, where I come from. So I think that artists in general are very influenced by the city and the place that they live at. You know, I've always felt this way and I've heard other artists say the same thing, like how things can be completely influenced by the space where you're at, or even if you're just like working on a specific project or making a specific record and which city did you make that record in? I feel like if you make a record in New York, it's going to sound a certain way. It's going to have the influences of that city. If you make a record in LA, it's going to sound totally different. If you make a, you know, if you, whatever you're doing, depending on the city or the environment that you're in, there's just going to be that outside impact. And I think that's a beautiful thing. And I think it shapes who we are as artists too. Mm-hmm. So I've definitely been completely influenced by both cultures, not just as an artist, but as a human.
You travel quite a bit. Can you, like, do you look back at your songs and go, to your point, like, oh, this one was written when we went to China, and this one was definitely written because I was in that, this one was definitely Brazil. You can, like, feel it in the words, even though it's all on different albums. Like, can you look back and tell the difference?
Absolutely. But you know what's interesting too? Sometimes, and this comes like, especially with lyrics, I have like, sometimes I'll get completely inspired and just do something from, you know, beginning to end. Okay, I'm going to finish these lyrics right now and 100% be influenced by, you know, the environment where I'm at. But I also have so many pieces of things, and I don't know if you guys write this way as well, but like of just like ideas that I'll have and I'll just scribble them down, and I have ongoing notes. So sometimes I piece them together. So to your point, maybe there's a song that has little bits and pieces of all these places that I've been to, which is an interesting thought too. And I never really actually thought about that, but I'm sure that they're there. And if I stop to think about where that melody came from at what, you know, what point, where I was and that piece of lyric and what influenced me, maybe there will be a song that has many flavors from many countries.
It's funny that you mentioned like being different places and that influencing your music, because so your last album was like, pronounce it for me because I'm just a boring white guy.
Suspiro.
That one. So that album.
Or the Americanized version would be Suspiro.
Suspiro. That album, yeah, Suspiro. In all seriousness, when I love that album. I think it's amazing. And I know you do a bit of English, and you also sing in, is it Portuguese? Okay. What's crazy about that to me is I like had an epiphany when you were saying being influenced by all these different places, because I, thinking back on listening to your album, like that literally sounds like a Brazilian artist that's in like New York City. Is that, did you write a lot of that here, I assume?
Yeah, so that's actually a great example of an album that I think could only have been done in New York. Because yes, it's very Brazilian influenced, but the Brazilian players that are on there have been living in New York for so long, and they're very much active like in the jazz scene, and they're, you know, geniuses when it comes to Brazilian jazz. And the type of music that they play here is also very New York, but Brazilian influenced. So I think that, you know, the way we did that in Brooklyn, you know, with multicultural musicians, Stefan Sahuan, who produced it with Jaco, and Stefan is, you know, French, an amazing drummer, but he lived in Brazil for 20 something years, and we knew each other from Rio back then. And it's just like all these influences, this melting pot that New York has to offer. So we did have a concept behind the record of what we wanted it to sound like, but it is very, very New York sounding with the whole Brazilian background.
It's got like the New York like edge to it. You know, it's got the real, like,
yes.
Oof. if that makes sense.
Yeah, like shit is real. We're gonna record everything at the same time because studio's expensive.
It's like it's got that like classy, but I've been through some shit, you know, or like, hey, I have to pay rent and it's too much.
It's real, you know. We wanted to make a record kind of like the way that people used to make records back in the day, with everybody playing at the same time. And you know, most of the vocal takes are actually live as well, you know, of me singing with the band. And I really wanted to do something like that because it's so easy nowadays. People just, you know, you have a track and then you sing over the track and then you edit, then you cut, then you do this. We wanted it to sound real. So that was the whole idea behind that too.
So the artist inside me, and I think we've all grown, right? Like, you're not the same person nor artist you were when you were 21 years old and 25 and, you know, whatever the milestones, right? We've all grown.
Some wrinkles here and there.
But we all mature as artists, as people, and we sort of figure out who we are and what's important. Mm-hmm. And so, you know, as for me as an artist, I've been on this journey and I'm finally just at like 30 years old figuring out, oh, okay, like this is how I want to portray myself. This is what feels honest to me. This is what feels real. And screw whatever like commercial is, right? Mm-hmm. Because that's like whatever, right? I'm not concerned with that. I'm concerned with me making art and what I'm proud of. Did you have that inner struggle as well? Mainly, I ask the question only because I know a lot, some tracks and some things you put out are not in English at all. And so does that ever come in your head of like, oh, well, this isn't in English. You know, how is it going to be just as successful, or do you maybe do that for a reason, you know, to show, you know, your background and like you're proud of who you are and where you come from, you know? So is there a reason behind that, or does it get in your head of like, oh man, I don't know about this because it's not Miley Cyrus pop music and I'm, you know, how am I ever going to be successful? Believe me,
I think about this every day, right? I think that being an artist is so much about like doing it every day and accepting the highs and the lows of it. And of course there's always doubts and concerns and am I doing the right thing and why do I do this and not that. But I think you just have to stick to your truth. That's the most important thing. And success, I mean, what is success? Especially like these days, is it Instagram followers? Probably like that. So
unfortunately,
that's crazy to me. I think that's insane that, you know, we used to listen to music on the radio and you would listen to that song and that song would move you, would touch you. And you had no idea what those people looked like or who was, you know, what is this singer like? Who is this artist? I don't know. I'm moved by the music and the song. And nowadays you hear something and the first thing you do is like, find out what they had for lunch yesterday. So, you know, it's crazy that it became this. And I have my struggles of like accepting that this is what the music business has to do. I understand that, you know, like we have to do it to a certain extent, but I'm also not trying to be Miley Cyrus. Like, I think she's incredibly talented, but that's not like the stuff that I do, you know? So.
I feel like you could come in on a big old wrecking ball and, you know.
Right? Not even when I was 21. I don't think I could have done that. You know, I've always loved to do like this style of music. My vibe has always been like bossa jazz. That's always been my thing. And to your point of like singing in Portuguese versus English, you know, Brazilian music, like the Astrud de Gilberto, Stan Getz record, that was like one of the best selling records of the 70s, you know, it was like amazing. So I feel like Brazilian music is very much international. And there is a mystique about Brazilian Portuguese, and it's such a musical language. And I love singing in English and in Portuguese and expressing myself and honoring the songwriters that write in both languages. And, you know, I speak English and Portuguese like the same, like without an accent. You know, I dream in both languages. So to me, it's very natural.
I dream in both languages. I thought that was cool.
Yeah, I'm sure other people, it happens to other people too, but I have like crazy dreams. Like, you know, I could have a dream about you speaking Portuguese in my dream. You know?
My dream too, that I can speak another language, but it does not come out as real Portuguese. So
I'm curious because the crux of all this and this podcast, the reason I started to do it as like a diary from myself. And then I realized people don't give a shit. I'm going to talk to Grace because she's funny. But what's important to me for this is that a lot of people are in our position where it's, okay, you know, going from, okay, I'm making records and people are hearing them and people are putting it out, to where you have a leg up because you've worked very hard, but you're signed, you are on a label, you are successful, in my humble opinion. So I just wanted the last bit of business here of, can you talk about how you went from, okay, cool, I'm putting out records, to, okay, I'm on a label and I'm getting some nice stuff, and you know, my name's getting out there in a way, and you know, how did you go from there to there? Because I think a lot of people are stuck, you know, from I'm making it on Logic in my basement to, wow, okay, cool, I got on a label and getting some notoriety here.
It's a lot of work. Like, putting out a record is a lot of work, even if you are working closely with a label, which, you know, I was very lucky to have Rope-A-Dope on board with me, and they have such an amazing team, and they really understood the project, and they also understood like where it would fit best and which outlets they should go to. So, you know, I think but a lot of the work is me finding out like where to go, me giving ideas and, you know, following up. It's a lot of work to do that. It took me a while because actually the record was pretty much finished for quite some time, for a few months, but I didn't want to just release it independently because I felt like it was a project that showcased truly, like, you know, we talked so much about like, you know, oh, your identity, my identity as an artist and music that I do and how this record came about. And I just felt like it was something that should get the attention that it deserved. So I was pretty determined to shop it around and show it around and find a good home for it. And that takes time, and it takes a lot of following up and bugging people and making sure they listened, and a lot of no's. Mm-hmm. And then, you know, you do get a yes eventually. It's that cliche of like, keep on knocking, but but I think the most important thing is to be true to yourself, you know, to have an authentic project and find out like, where do you stand out? And this goes back to your question about like singing in both languages. And sure, this is all like different, and could that be weird? Maybe, but that's what makes me who I am, and that's why it's authentic and different. So I think that for any artist, young artist that's, you know, on Logic, on their computer recording stuff and doing things, the most important thing is to find out what you want to do. You know, how are you different? Where are you different? And explore that, because everybody is different and everybody has their own thing. And that's what people want to hear. That's what people want to see, you know?
Yeah.
I'd be curious, you know, Matt and I have brought this topic up a little bit about, and you were sort of alluding to this, of the change of times, and especially now with the pandemic and everything's online and everyone's a singer and everyone can auto-tune to be a pretty good singer. And, you know, are you finding that it's been helpful because you did get a record out with a label that happened when everyone's locked down, so that you're getting more engagement? Or are you finding it harder because you are on TikTok, and maybe you are, and that's the place that you need to be? Or, you know, you're not, you know, you have to change your tactic because there's a whole different way that going about it. Mm-hmm. now.
So I am on TikTok. I think I have one follower, and
oh
I
my
think
God,
I
can we do it? Oh,
we're gonna go follow.
Yeah, I don't even know. Like, honestly, TikTok freaks me out a bit. Like, every time I open it, all these things just start popping up and automatically scrolling, and I just like close it because I'm so scared of it. I just can't. So yeah, the reason why I didn't even start a TikTok profile until like a couple of months ago, because we did a video with our good friend Mauro Hefoshko, who's a wonderful musician, percussionist, and he has a band with Joey Warrenker called Joe Moro, and they were doing these TikTok videos, and he invited us to do one, and I was like, well, if we're going to do that, then I probably should get on TikTok. Fine. Okay. So anyway, TikTok freaks me out a bit. I don't know. It's a little
it's
too much.
It's too much. It's it's overstimulation.
Yeah. It's too much, and I don't know. I'm scared of it.
But if TikTok wants to sponsor this podcast, TikTok, you are fantastic.
I love brush my TikTok. Teeth for TikTok. Oh my God, I
this
love
is amazing.
TikTok.
Amazing.
All but if
the
you
audits,
don't,
like the things.
But if you don't, Instagram.
Right.
Dude, okay, so, man, there's so much that we could talk about, and there's so much more that I do want to talk about.
I think we're just going to need to have you back at some point, so I think
so.
Sure.
I think so, and we're going to put all your links in the description below, and if you're listening to this, just hit the more info button, and you can see everything about Alexia. Her
yes,
website
especially
is...
my TikTok account. You can follow me, and I can have more than one.
We can start a hashtag, increase Alexia's followers. And that could...
Listen, you can talk around the clock in multiple languages. Thank you very much.
I do have one more question. So, and this is totally random, but when you make a record, do you get like the original records, like the old school records made, like for a record player?
Oh yeah, vinyl. Yeah, hang on. I do. I can't find the other one. This is the latest. Well, this is the one before. Yeah, this is the one before Suspiro. This is Chasing Storms and Stars.
I love this.
But we do have Suspiro on vinyl as well, and I can give you guys the links. Yeah, we even made CDs of Suspiro. Apparently, people still like CDs. I don't know. I mean, they sound better than MP3s.
I need a CD. Like, if I don't have vinyl, like,
I love the vinyl, man. That's the way to go. It just sounds different to, like, touch it in the way that they just made it. It's like, nothing. Spotify got nothing on it. It's just the best.
Mm-hmm. And Grace has just excited half the audience. And by half, I mean one of two people. And she's like, you just touch it, and in the way it feels.
That's going to be our one little TikTok clip to try and get more audience for the wrong reasons.
Our teaser. We touch it the way it feels. Well, before we let you go, we have to do one thing. We have to have a little fun on this.
Oh, yeah.
Grace.
Yeah.
So I can be politically correct.
Yes. With 9 minutes left and a little fun, we have a segment called Let's Be Honest to just air out any feelings about life, about anything that just, let's be honest, get it off. Chess, good, bad, and different. Safe space here, and we are always here to vent and kvetch about something or other.
May I give you an example? Because I'm going to use this one day, but it just happened to me. I had run to the store prior to our Zoom, and I kept getting drops of something. I'm like, oh, it's
New
raining.
York drips.
And it's just random New York drips. And it's from someone's AC. So use that as inspiration, if you will.
Well, let's just hope it was AC. I mean, at this point, I hope it was somebody's AC.
Here's the thing. Fuck, Alexia. There was no puddle on the ground, so it wasn't a constant drip. So thank you. So I'm going to shower after this.
Probably a good idea.
Yes.
Well, I guess we'll talk like pre-pandemic life, because I don't know. Who knows? I don't really go out these days, but
we're like Gollum.
Pandemic,
the sun?
Right? Because now it would probably just be like, why are you not wearing a mask? Like, okay, so pre-pandemic life, one thing that really annoyed me is it's just like man spreading on the subway. Like, really? Like, is that necessary? Come on. Like, why do you feel the need to do that? Like, There are so many people that could have that seat next to you, and you just need to just like take it all, you know, and man spread. It's like, really, man? Like, come on.
It's the parallel to mansplain.
True.
Where you manspread in hyperbole in your, you know, vocabulary, but you're literally spreading out and being a piece of shit now. Listen, if I use big words, it helps. It confuses the listener. No, but no, I understand. And it's, you know,
especially when you're standing right there and they see you, and it's like, it's one thing if it's empty and you're like, relax.
Oh, sure. Like, yeah. I'm talking about a packed, like pre-pandemic life packed, six train. Okay.
And I remember when I used to bartend and I would come off of like a 12-hour shift. Now, I'm not an older, you know, person or a pregnant lady or whatever it may be, but it would piss me off when that would happen. And I'm like, dude, I've just stood for like 16 hours. And I just want to sit, because you're not allowed to sit, you know?
That is a good one, and annoying and so inconsiderate and all of the things that just like encompasses annoyance into one, like one word, one little snippet there.
Yeah. I like that. And you know what? Here's what I've learned. Alexia is fantastic. Her music is off the charts, and she's got some pet peeves.
Yeah.
And I'm with it. I've got at least yours makes sense. You don't need, like, the next time we have you on, you will get into mine and you'll be like, oh, well, Matt's a psycho and I'm not coming on again. It was a pleasure to speak with you, and we're going to link all your music and all your good stuff. And like, I think people should buy some vinyls too, because it's badass. And literally, you've achieved one thing that I am striving for. Aside from having amazing music, it's just having cool ass shit, because that vinyl and your shirts and your tote bags, it is all badass. And even if I didn't even listen to your music, I would want it. So everyone should check it out, because it's awesome.
Awesome. Thank you. Thank you, guys.
Thank you again, Alexia.
Thank you.
And thanks for listening. We'll be back soon. What up, Grace? See you soon.